Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Bring your sweet love in. Bring it on home to me. Yeah.
Did you see, by the way, before you officially reintroduce this show to 1.2 billion people listening, did you see today the kid from St. Louis, wide receiver, Mookie Cooper, commits to Ohio State?
Not cool, bro.
Let me tell you something. I have not seen Mookie Cooper play. Apparently, Mookie Cooper can play. He picked Ohio State over USC, Texas, and Miami.
Yeah, I haven't watched him play either, but those Trinity kids, they are not messing around in any way, shape, or form right now. That's the fourth or fifth one of them in the last 2 years to get a big name, and good for them.
So, according to Rivals, the star system, you have the stars, but you also have ratings. You have, like, tiers of stars, okay? So, the you can be a 5.5, a 5 points. I think you can be as low as a 5.4. Yeah, 5.4 is the lowest three-star. 5.5 is middle tier, 5.6 middle tier, 5.7 is the high tier. You're very close to being a four-star. And then 5.8 is the first four-star. Right now, Mizzou has Antonio Doyle, a linebacker out of St. Louis here, who's a 5.8. But they also have 4 5.7s.
Wow.
They are very close to having 5 4-stars committed. And these are not final rankings based on how their seasons are. They put a new film and all that. In fact, I was not a 4-star, nor should I have been. But because I had such a strong senior season, I got bumped about 30 spots. I was 3 spots away from being a 4-star based on my final year. So that tells you how much you can jump based on your final season if they put in some more stuff. But that includes Jeremy Macklin's cousin, Jay Macklin, Brady Cook as a kid. I think he was Chaminade kid. Mitchell Walters and Kevon Billingsley out of East St. Louis. That's a big one to keep that pipeline going.
But so they're all these young kids from St. Louis are already committed to Barry.
Oh yeah, dude, they got a bunch. You haven't been on the show. There's a. In fact, this is interesting. All of their top rated guys are St. Louis kids.
There you go.
So you have Drake Heismeyer, who's a St. Charles kid from Francis Howe, St. Louis area, obviously. East St. Louis, Kevon Billingsley, Mitchell Walters, who is a he's 6'8".
How much you weigh?
From St. Louis. What's that?
How much you weigh?
275.
Pansy, I was 275 in seventh grade.
Yeah, I know, but you were also 3'8". Kirkwood from Jay Macklin, St. Louis, Brady Cook there, and then Antonio Doyle. So they have a bunch of St. Louis kids, and they're all the highest rated, which is pretty awesome. In fact, it's interesting here. They don't have a single Kansas City kid yet this year. They do have one from Columbia. He committed this past week, Will Norris, linebacker. That is a and the other thing is they've, over the years, because to fill out your class, you have to take kids that are further down the list. They're sitting right now at 12 commitments. They're low. I just gave you the tiers here. Their lowest tier, they have a 5.5 kid, two of them. So he's 3 stars. And so according to the rankings, they're doing better thus far. We'll see how that all shakes out. None of the team recruiting rankings matter just yet. They're sitting at 33. Typically, they're at 35-ish is a pretty good class to them. If you can sit in the 35 range, they've developed well enough. But a lot of those kids are real close. And the 5.7 rating that I'm telling you guys about, historically, a lot of the best players, Chase Daniel was a 5.7 guy. I mean, I think Alden Smith was a 5.7 guy. I mean, you get, historically, a lot of the best players who come through Missouri are right there on the cusp of being a 4-star kid. And that rating has been really good to him.
Well, that's very cool. That's old school. That's where I grew up in the 70s and into parts of the 80s, when Mizzou was terrific to competitive. It was basically based on Missouri recruits.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the roster was made up of St. Louisans, Kansas City, Columbia, Springfield. It was good for Barry Odom.
Mm-hmm. A few more people here that were that 5.7 rating. Jamon Moore was a 5.7 rating guy. Marcus Loud, who was wasn't Marcus Loud? No, that was Walter Ray. Marcus Loud was a starter. I believe he got kicked off. And Josh Augusta.
He did, but let me tell you something. There's another kid that just sort of blew it.
Yeah,
Loud had some game.
Yeah, he did.
He had some game.
Donovan Newsome was a 5.7 kid. Sean Colkin, who's still playing in the NFL somehow, was a 5.7 kid. Matty Mock was a 5.7 kid. So there have been quite a few. I'm just going over the past few years now, but going way back, there were quite Shane Ray, a 5.7 kid, Kentrell Brothers. So Missouri has not historically given you a ton of 4 and 5 stars, but they've had a lot of kids on the cusp that do a lot of damage. Mitch Morse, EJ Gaines, Henry Josie, Kenrante Walker, Marcus Murphy, Bud Sasser, all those guys were 5.73 stars. So, and that was on a loaded class of 2010. So quite a few kids there, and you can go back into, you know, quite a ways. It doesn't always work that way. LaDamian Washington was a 5.42 star kid. So right. It's not always, but typically that rating has been really good to Missouri.
We talk about how tough the NHL Central will be this year. And I think that for the calendar sports year 2019/20, that the NHL Central will be the toughest single division in all of professional sports.
Yeah.
I think you can make the case that no conference will have three better teams than Houston, the Yankees, and for the time being, I will say the Red Sox. Red Sox has not played up to par, but once they're healthy, once they're clicking, that, though, might be changing. What happened this weekend in the NBA might have been, well, the last week might have been the most important week in NBA history. Because I'm going to be utterly shocked if the TV ratings don't skyrocket this year.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Because you still have Philly and Boston in contention. You still have Golden State that's going to be competitive. So you have those major markets remaining. Houston's going to be good, so you're going to have Houston. I mean, all these – Dallas is going to improve. That's going to lift another major market. But now all of a sudden L.A.? Are you kidding me? The Lakers being good for national purposes? Are you kidding me? How many people aside from me and Rocky you think watched the Clippers play basketball in St. Louis last year? Not too many. I assure you, there will be a significantly higher number of people in St. Louis watching the Clippers at 10 o'clock at night on a Wednesday, at least for a few minutes this year. What an incredible week for the NBA. I cannot wait for the NBA season to begin. Cannot wait.
Why'd you say it like that?
Like what?
Just based on because of injuries and how they're going to space people out, you can argue that there's going that the Warriors, the Lakers, and the Clippers could finish 4, 5, 6 in the West with the Nuggets, the Jazz, and the Trailblazers above them. And it's not a ridiculous concept. That's how good and deep the West is. That's insane.
I'm not sure what you said, little boy, but you're special. All I know is that I will be spaced out a number of times watching West Coast basketball this season. And loving it. I cannot wait.
Why'd you say it like that?
Like what? Why do you keep asking that question?
Boston will still be good.
Yes.
The East is still going to struggle. But the West is just infinitely more fun. Brooklyn will be more entertaining this year. But until Kevin Durant comes back, they're not going to be anywhere there. You'll turn on the TV perhaps to watch Miami with Jimmy Butler out there. But they're kind of nobodies, right? The East is still going to struggle, but the West has become substantially closer in competition, and now you're at a place where it's interesting. Instead of watching the Warriors win by 30, the Warriors could lose by 30 any given night.
Well, they're still going to be good.
Yeah, they are, but not until halfway through the year. I think they're going to struggle without Clay.
I would say that's a fair assessment, but
D'Angelo Russell, Steph Curry,
they'll stay close enough.
Draymond Green, Willie Cauley-Stein, they'll be fine.
See, that's the whole key. The last name. Because if Willie Cauley-Stein actually ever plays up to his potential, I mean, that's a kid who has an incredibly rare combination of size and athleticism. That's one of those 7-footers that runs the court and looks like he's 6'7". You know what I'm saying, Rock?
Yeah, his biggest problem has been he tries to, like, shoot threes and not be the guy who just should rim run and dunk on people and block shots. And so maybe being on the Warriors gets him in his lane.
That's what I'm saying. If WTF?
Why'd you say it like that?
Why do you keep asking me that question?
Because you keep saying it funny.
Seriously, Denver picked up Jeremy Grant today, you were telling me?
Yeah.
I mean, you throw them into the mix. The only team I really can't buy yet, because I just don't see Porzingis, if he's healthy, and Luka, they'll be competitive. But I'm not real excited about who's around them right now, Rock.
Yeah, I'd agree. I wasn't even thinking about the Mavericks yet. And they have so much potential in a couple of years.
There's still a piece to fall, and that's where Westbrook's going to end up. He's not playing in OKC this year.
Now, maybe, Rock, you can do some due diligence here if we have time. I don't even know what the hell time it is.
That's 1:53, John.
All right, so we got a little time. Maybe you can do the due diligence here. But I used to clip articles out of newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, I saved it to read later. But apparently there's some story about Houston getting Westbrook. How and where? I don't know.
They say it's very unlikely, though.
Okay.
I read the same story, yes.
I'm not ready yet. That's why I'm asking details.
Yeah. So the idea was that they are interested and could perhaps make the numbers work, but it's just such a bad environment already between Chris Paul and the guys, and that it is unlikely to do so, but there is some interest.
So they would keep all three of them?
According to that story. Now, I assume which story I read could perhaps, I didn't even look at where it was. I just clicked on the story on Twitter. Could have been an aggregate of the original story and such. I'm not sure which one it was, but I read a story with the same idea, I'm sure it was either the original or stolen, that said yes, but they think it's too unstable at this point. They're not going to be able to unload the Chris Paul contract is their issue.
Well, who's playing 3-4 now, Rock? It's slipping my mind.
The three?
Right.
Mbah Mute is gone. PJ Tucker is the four on that squad. I have no idea. Trevor Reza's
gone. Capella's the five, right?
Yeah.
So, in theory.
No idea who the three is.
Who would move to three? Would Westbrook move to three?
I guess it's Gerald Green and Daniel House. I'm pretty sure they re-signed Gerald Green.
Westbrook can play the three.
No, I'm just trying to think of the three who would be the most.
Right.
Yeah, because you got to think. Would a Westbrook trade not? I feel like that would necessitate Eric Gordon somewhere in the trade as well. I don't know if you're going to give away like seven. You know, you're giving away like four or five first round draft picks. I feel like just because of his contract, Eric Gordon's for $14 million. I feel like he might have to be in that. But that's a lot of small guards, though. Because if you have Eric Gordon, Chris Paul, Westbrook, and Harden, that's four guys under 6'4", pretty
and
much.
And none of them naturally would be threes.
No, not at all.
Yeah, see, I don't know how the hell that would work. That's why, I said, but I could see. I thought Houston might be in on Boogie.
You're not getting rid of Harden.
No.
So it would have to be Chris Paul if you did it, but Chris Paul. That's not a good contract.
No. No.
The NBA is weird, though. If you don't follow it closely, which I don't follow everything about the NBA closely, and I think their rules are kind of absurd. All these sign-in trades, Rock, perhaps, I know you follow it to some degree. Are these sign-in trades because if somebody else signs them, it doesn't go against your cap? Why am I seeing so many sign-in trades? I know it doesn't make sense to me, but that's my question.
Well, because when you sign with the original team, you can sign a bigger deal,
mm-hmm.
And then so that lets you get more money, and it lets the team that's losing you get something for instead of just getting nothing and losing you on the market. So it allows you. So it's essentially they let you get more money for them to get a little bit of something back. You know, a couple second round picks here and there.
So that's the only reason for sign-in trade.
That I can rationalize, yes.
Okay. I've seen a few over the last couple of days, and I'm going with it.
Because that's literally the only two things I can think of is if a guy's going into free agency and you weren't able to trade him midseason or you tried to make a run and you couldn't or you didn't want to, then you want to get anything back for him, even if it's just a couple second-round picks because those are currency.
Right.
Quite literally sometimes just for $3 million here and there. And then the other half is if you're the player, is most of the time you can sign, 10% more. Or, if you're more of a veteran, it's like 25%, 30% more if it's with the team that you're already on instead of signing with a brand new team.
All right. So the other thing is this, to clarify. Kyle Korver was just traded to the Phoenix Suns to be bought out I don't know if it's already happened, but it's anticipated that he would be bought out and likely, sign with the Lakers. You buy them out specifically because you have to meet a salary floor. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yes.
Because we see the amount of guys that we see get traded for.
And NHL has that too, right? There is a salary floor in the NHL too, I'm pretty sure.
I think the salary floor in the NBA is 80% of the cap. I think that's right. Or else they have to divvy out to everybody on the team the allotted amount left anyway. If you're only at 75%, then 5% of the salary cap just gets distributed evenly to the rest of the team.
When you're a bad team in the NBA, there's multiple ways for you to essentially be used as the middleman to clear contracts. And essentially your job there is then just suck up draft picks here and there just to be the middleman to get rid of bad contracts, suck it up, and then you basically kick the player out. He gets to go on a veteran minimum deal to a contender, but you're still sucking up that like $12 million he had on his actual contract.
Right. All right.
I know that we're going to have to wrap up this hour. Next hour, we'll talk some women's soccer. We'll continue on this NBA conversation. But I want you to give some thought to this, both of you.
Man, I don't want to.
Young. Still young. I have genes older than the two of you.
You still wear them?
No.
I think the acid wash would have weakened the fabric.
I switched the numbers through the years. I went from a 34 to a 43. So anyhow,
that was the one switch you made.
That was
good lord.
Pant size. So anyhow, my point is, I want both of you to tell me the last time that at the All-Star break. The Cardinals are two games out of first place and two games out of a wild card, and you thought to yourself, they have no chance of winning that division and no chance of getting into playoffs, because that's exactly how I feel. And they're two games from both. Two. Uno, dos. Uno,
stop. I got to tell you about Royal Banks. Royal Banks of Missouri. Go check them out. As we have discussed many a times, they are responsible for helping us in the community. They have 11 area locations. They were a key player there in getting the Blues new practice facility funded. And that is because they are locally owned, operated. Everything about that bank is spectacular. Our friend Bob Ramsey has been partners with them for, I think, 20 plus years now. And they are as good as it gets. So go check them out, royalbanksofmo.com, or you can call them at 3100. They do a great job over there. Check them out. Royal Banks of Missouri, Royal Banks, where better service means better banker and better banking. Member FDIC and equal housing lender. We will be back on the other side. It is Hardline.